2026. Happy team, productive team. Now, the mistake is that our leadership leans one way or the other. If I was coaching you, I would say, right now, you do not need to be doing the one-on-ones. Your manager is more than capable. You've trained her. It's good. Get rid of it. You've got to lead them into connection. You've got to lead them into productivity, and you've got to lead them towards sustainable happiness. However, you start to realize that it requires you to step up, become, and perform.
If you've ever felt stuck, you know, choosing between keeping your team comfortable and pushing them to perform, if you avoid hard conversations because you don't want to ruin the mood and the vibe, or if you've tried being tough but you end up with resistance from your team, or worse, quiet quitting, this episode will get you on the fast track to a better team culture. Because Joel, he's our boardroom coach for $1 million plus salons, he's going to be sharing the exact 60-minute framework that we teach inside of Salon Mastery to reset team expectations, get some buy-in back from your team so they can own their behavior instead of waiting to be managed by you. This is another job for you to do. So if your goal this year is having a team that shows up, steps up, makes your life easier so you can do the right work, not the hard work, you're in the right place. You'll love this episode.
Hey team, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Joel, and I cannot wait to dive into this topic, the fast track, your fast track to better team culture. I have spent most of my life fascinated by human beings, what motivates them, why they sabotage themselves, and how they come together and either excel, become cohesive, and truly transform the mission of a business, or they actually find friction, find difference, and find themselves in silos, just operating more in a group. I've found that to be a fascinating journey. And over the last 25 years, I've dived into the research, I've studied, I've had 10 years working with a team of 25 staff, and now with our team of 12 at SOC, and all of the owners that we get to serve and their teams, I continue to be fascinated by what is it that makes a great team? How do you become great? As a salon CEO, as an owner, as a leader, we fundamentally know that in order to achieve freedom, in order to achieve profit, that at some point you need to leverage leadership and step back from the chair, from the room, from doing the consultation and the work. And we need your team to be the drivers of your service to the point where they are not only productive, but they're happy. I say to people, like, what is it you want? They say, I don't really know. And I was like, what about happy, productive people? What about a team that's full of happy, productive people? This is a good place to start. Like, what's my goal for 2026? Happy team, productive team. Now, the mistake is that our leadership leans one way or the other, that we just want a happy team. I'll do anything to make my team happy. If they're happy, surely they'll produce, as the old kind of narrative goes in our heads. And so many owners come to us and they're like, I do everything for my team, but they're not performing. They don't want to know about their targets. They don't want to grow. They don't want to get better. They're not that motivated. It's because all you've ever done is paint a beautiful oasis picture for them and serve their needs around happiness. And then you've got the owner on the other side of the spectrum, of course, that's a little bit of maybe a brick wall, someone that is perhaps maybe highly attuned to what needs to be done and is constantly sharing, telling asking people to step up, do more, go better, go one more. And that's good, but on its own, it has a massive negative consequence, both just pursuing happy staff, happy team, or just pursuing highly productive team. And so what we need is we need to combine those things together. Now, you know me pretty well. If you ask me, Joel, what is it that I need to do to ensure that there is a sustainable, enjoyable, happy future for my team? And also along with that, because I really love my team. I really want the best for them. I really want to attract great people that complement and contribute to what is already happening. But along with that, what we also need is we need a team that is attracted to, inspired by, and motivated to perform. Like you, like me, they want to be at some point on the other side of their day or on the other side of their service and feel really chuffed, really excited about what they've just done. We want them to feel good about productivity, not just good about having a job, not just good about being paid, not just good about being in a good team and being happy, but good about the work that they do. And so the question becomes, how do you create that? How do you create that when you're an owner and you don't like conflict, so you bias happiness? Or you're an owner and you don't like happiness, so you bias productivity? I'm saying that pretty black and white, but I think you get what I mean. And it ultimately comes down to something very simple and very powerful, and most people don't understand what it is or how to mobilize it. I would refer to it as what you and me both know as team culture. You need to create vision around the culture as the owner. You need to know the kind of culture that you want to be a part of. It needs to be a culture that works both for both of those stakeholders, both happiness and productivity. And you want to then mobilize that culture and use that culture to not only attract new people, but to align current people. And this becomes the basis of hard conversation. It becomes the basis of accountability, which is the very reason that people never set culture, because it's like, oh, now I've drawn a line in the sand and I've said, this is who we are. This is how we roll. This is what's most important to us. And if someone performs in a way or behaves in a way that's not in alignment with that, oh shit, I've got to have a conversation with them. I've got to align them. And I don't like conflict, so it's easier for me to just not set the culture. And this is fundamentally the plateau that almost every $500,000 to $750,000 business hits, is you've got a team, it's starting to build, you're starting to realize that people by nature don't connect well on their own. You've got to lead them into connection, you've got to lead them into productivity, and you've got to lead them towards sustainable happiness. However, you start to realize that it requires you to step up, become, and perform. It requires you not to just set the culture, not to just create the vision, but you've actually got to stand for it. And time again, I've seen it play out in many areas of business that the owner just can't make that shift. They just can't make that shift to be able to hold people to account. This is fundamentally the shift that every owner that was once a hairdresser or once did skin or whatever it is that you're business is based around, making that transition out of being the expert in your area of expertise into becoming a leader, a real leader. And that transition is out of and away from service expertise into leveraging leadership to get you through the plateau. Every single person in boardroom that's doing over $1 million and beyond has been through that plateau. And I think it's a really important conversation for us to have. So let's dive in a little bit deeper. I call it team culture. What we're really talking about there is the behaviors or the way we do things around here. And those behaviors or the way that we do things around here, they add up to, at the end of every week, month, and year, something that's sustainable, something that's enjoyable, and something that produces. So the culture is what generates. It generates the way we feel at work, the vibe, the kind of essence of who we are, but it also creates the performance standard. Like, this is how we roll. And when I go into salons and train culture, that's how we land this initial piece around culture, is it is how we fundamentally roll. And I would say that for a lot of us, it's like, I don't know how we roll, or I know how I'd like us to roll. And it's kind of like a vague concept, Joel. Like, what do you mean? How do we roll? And really, deep down, it's a set of co-designed, team-agreed expectations. That's all it is. But you can't just show up and say, here's the expectations, sign there. It's not how it works. It's not how human beings are designed to roll. They need to be a part of the process. And so, and I've done this for a number of years, gone into organizations and worked with them over multiple days to redistill their culture. And it takes a while, and it's really expensive, and it's really effective, because fundamentally what we're doing is we're giving people the inside out approach to sustainable productivity. And every business needs it, but no one can really see it when they look in the mirror. They always go, well, today or this week, the problem was they didn't hit their target. Or the problem was we had some last minute cancellations. Or the problem was my manager is still learning and they haven't quite stepped up yet. Or the problem was, I don't really like to say this, but I actually wasn't really leading this week. And we look at the symptom. We look at like what's really obvious in there right now. And then we go, that sucks. I don't like that. But hey, we're doing some other things well. And hey, life goes on. Business goes on. Let's just try harder tomorrow. And I think it really takes a courageous owner to really step back and reflect. And this is why I've always myself had a coach, because they just play such a good role in revealing blind spots. But it takes a really courageous, aware person and salon owner to be able to go, I actually think that there's something missing in my leadership, that I could do this better. And there's no doubt about it that at $750,000 turnover, as you start to look up and into like a way more prosperous future with way more freedom, like the needle mover is leveraging your leadership. Like, you've got to figure out a way to take your leadership skills, expand them, and this is a really, really positive experience, and then use them to lift everybody. We say a rising tide lifts all boats. Well, guess what? You're the moon and you're lifting the tide. Or not, you're pushing it out. And the boats are your team. And as the tide goes up, they go up. And I'm talking about when it goes up, it's like high performance. So what we really want to do is we want to fundamentally understand that it all starts with us as the owner. And for many of us, we just need to step back and go, if I could do one thing strategically in the next year that would fundamentally make my business better, what is it? And this is what we do inside of Boardroom, inside of Salon Mastery. Is right at the beginning of the year, we get really clear about, like, what's the big queen move? What's the big queen move that come December of this year, when you look back, you know, you're not only proud, but you feel a sense of significance, because you did something you didn't need to do. You did something that another version of you would have just been like, oh, just going to keep working hard, you know? I think it's well documented now that there's so many people that own businesses out there. And there's so many people that fail in business. And it's not because they're not working hard. That is not the reason that you're not succeeding. That is not the reason that you're currently at a plateau. It is not your lack of hard work. It's that you're working hard in the wrong place right now. That's it. The businesses that grow, that break through plateaus, that make it, that enjoy the benefits of a happy, productive team, are those that are doing the right thing at the right time. Now, doing one-on-ones with your team, you could argue with anybody that they are inherently good and positive and you're the right person to do it. But there will be a season, if I was coaching you, I would say, right now, you do not need to be doing the one-on-ones. Your manager is more than capable. You've trained her. It's good. Get rid of it. You're not doing it anymore. At the right time, doing the right thing. And so, as we land here at the beginning of another year, my question to you would be, if there was one thing that you could facilitate this year that you can't do in a week, you can't do in a month, but you kind of need like a whole year to focus on it, what would that be? And before you answer, the answer should be filtered by, it should move my business forward. It should make my team better. They should be happier and more productive as a result of whatever this move is. And so when we consider that team culture could be the thing, like to truly elevate, clarify, get people confident in, and then committed to your team culture, when we're considering that, if we land like, that's it, I want to elevate the team culture. And as a result of that, the team are happier and more productive. That sounds good for business. That sounds like more profit, more time, more loyalty, less sick days, like engagement goes up. Like it's just really good. And the research into culture is undeniable. Like it's been done across every sector, every industry. What we know about people is if they're happy in their work and they produce, they stay. If they're happy in their work and they produce, they stay. So you say, well, how do I do that, Joel? Like, well, I say culture. And you say, well, how do I distill culture? And I say, well, there's the expensive, deep, really effective way. You know, bring Joel in for three separate days over 3 months and let's do the work. But I don't want to talk about that today. What I really want to talk about is the fast track. Is the fast track to a better culture. Because you know what I believe? I reckon that the 80-20 rule is really how we want to approach most of our leveraged leadership and our better future. I think as business owners, there's a lot going on in our brains. I think the more that we can get out of our brains, the better. And, you know, having worked with over 280,000 people now, you know, it's nice to think that everyone has the time and has the capacity and has the tolerance to go, you know what, culture's really important to me this year. I'm going to spend 3 days and a bucket load of money and bring Joel in and it's going to be great. And we're going to, you know, reset the culture and it's going to be amazing. And we do that. And then the next year we do something else. We go lean and luxe and we distill that model. And over the next 5 years, we transform the trajectory of this business. It goes from, it was probably going to peter out around 700K. Like that's all my skills and capability can bring. But actually now it's on track to turn over $1.8 million with a $300,000 profit and a salary that I never even thought I'd ever get. And my team is stoked. That would be nice. And part of it is about doing the work. And part of it is about going, what if I could just get 80% of the result, Joel? What would I need to do? Like what's the one thing that if I did this, it would generate 80% of what you could offer if you came in and we did the whole kit and caboodle, right?
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth is slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community, and other million-dollar-plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So, if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
And I really just want to land on this, that we teach this inside of Salon Mastery. So when an owner presents with these challenges and these symptoms, they're like, you know what? I really do believe that our next move is team culture. Like, we've got to lead that better. Like, we can't rely on like just rock star people coming in and them leading the team on their own. That worked when it was two or three of us. But now that there's 7 or 8 or 10 or 15 of us, we actually really need some great leadership, both from the owner, but also from the leaders, the key people that have high levels of influence, that are very likable. You start to realize that these people are actually very influential in your team. So you've got to get it right. So how do you get it right, Joel, without spending a bucket load of money, without spending a bucket load of time not generating revenue and doing training? But how do you do it quick? Like, is it possible? Could you do it in an hour? Could you get 80% of the result in an hour? And the answer is absolutely yes. It is yes. And all it requires is a really clear framework on how you lead people through this journey of understanding that work is not about a job that puts food on your table, but work is a real privilege for us to have, and that fundamentally we're in the driver's seat. I'm talking about your team now. We're in the driver's seat of the workplace experience. Like, how you experience work. Like, when you're driving to work, when you're on the bus going to work, how you perceive work is really, really important. This is one of the greatest one-on-one questions that you'll ever ask your people, if you ask it. When you're going to work, how do you feel about work? This is a good question to ask. When you're at work, how do you feel when you're at work? When you're leaving work, before you start thinking about anticipating home, what are you thinking about work, the work that you've just been to? Now, whatever the answer is, let's just say it's negative. You could only choose positive or negative, whatever it is, setting team expectations, which is the workshop that we give to our salon masters, is fundamentally about helping the team to realize they are in the driver's seat when it comes to how they're feeling about work, what their experience of is at work, and when they're driving home, how they feel about work. Now, I'll tell you something about loyalty. How people feel is their life. If they fundamentally feel marginalized, minimized, bullied, like no one gets them at work, de-energized, like they're on a treadmill, like it's same, and it's not that enjoyable. If they feel like that day after day after day after day, it doesn't matter how many lollies you bring in, it doesn't matter how good your staff work to is, it actually doesn't even matter how much you pay them. Eventually they're going to leave. And they're probably going to leave before that 7-year mark. 7-year mark being the metric for me at a bare minimum that you should keep your staff for. Every single staff. Now, there's always going to be outliers. There's always going to be people that leave after 2 weeks or 2 years and whatever. They move in countries, they get pregnant, whatever the case may be. But generally speaking, your running average for the controllables based on your culture should be 7 years minimum. And the way that you do that is you cut to the bone and you figure out exactly what it is that people are thinking on the way into work, what are they thinking while they're at work, and what they're thinking on their way home after work. And then through this process called setting team expectations, we help them to reframe that that's a thing that happens to them, that that's a circumstance that affects them, and we shift that to them and we get them in the driver's seat and we show them that they can take full ownership for that. And as a team, they can co-design the culture. And as a team, they can hold each other to account. It's brilliant. It is brilliant. And it actually comes down to 5 very, very simple pieces. And I'm going to share these pieces with you. And then I'm going to leave you with a question that I think at this time of the year is really, really useful for us to think about. So the first thing that you're going to want to do in this 1-hour workshop with your team is you're going to want to clarify what is an expectation. There's lots of philosophy out there that suggests that expectations are actually the root of unhappiness. Like, if you want to be unhappy, just have high expectations. On the other side of the coin, there's philosophy that would suggest that if you want to raise the quality of your life, raise your standards of yourself, raise the expectations that you have. So it's important to understand what an expectation is, and you really want to clarify that definition with your people. So I'm imagining you standing up and there's a circle of your team members around you, and you have like a 10-minute conversation around what is an expectation, both what is the definition of an expectation, but also what actually is some examples of an expectation. So now we're at that point where it's like everyone's going, okay, great, I know what an expectation is. And I reckon it's a really good idea for you to share some personal examples. Like at my home, in my home, these are some expectations that I have. In my marriage, these are some expectations that I have. And with my health and fitness, these are some expectations that I have. And then we want to flip it and go and answer the questions, what if you don't meet an expectation? Like, what is the consequence of not meeting an expectation? And this is such an important conversation, because what you draw people to that they never get to on their own is that you draw people to the pain and the frustration and the fear that every unmet expectation will eventually produce. Like, let's just say I have an expectation in health and fitness around I don't exercise when I feel well, I exercise. I don't train when I feel great, I just train. Like, I just get up and go. Like, there's no thought anymore. That's the expectation that I have. It's a psychological expectation. It's not, the expectation is not go and train 5 days a week. The expectation is, as an identity level, I just train, I just exercise. Now, if I don't meet that expectation, the consequence is drastic. This is bad. And it's important that we highlight this just at a conversational level. So for me, if I didn't exercise, the well-being, mental health, physical, aesthetic situation that would unfold for me is terrible. It's terrible. Like, we just don't want to go there. It is not good. And so this is really important to connect those negative results that produce frustration, pain, and fear with the expectation definition. So we have expectations. That's good. But now I understand that unmet expectations creates catastrophe. This is good. You want your team to be going, yeah, that's good. I get it. Nice. Makes sense. And then once you've done that, you really, as the salon owner, the leader, the CEO, you really get to show up and express what we would call the goal. And the goal is, it's whatever is relevant right now. And it could be a goal around the culture, you know, like the vibe, the culture, how we treat each other, being a cohesive world-class team. It could be a goal around looking after yourself. Maybe your culture is amazing. Maybe your team are all high performers. Like, they're all doing over 7K a week. They look after themselves pretty well. They have positive, healthy, personal lives. But you can see that the individuals are heading towards burnout. Like, they don't know how to look after themselves well. They're good in the family. They're good in the team. They're good with the client. But themselves, they are not good at that. So maybe that becomes the goal. Something around personal care. Something that's really, really common is to do with KPIs or a collective salon revenue level or target, like a money focus, right? And so the owner, you show up with like, guys, so this is the goal. This is the goal. And you do a really good job at unpacking the goal. Like, that's not just like, hey, the goal is da-da-da. You really want to know how to deliver a why stack around the goal so that people go, oh, yeah, I got it. Like, they can feel it. They can see it. They can almost smell it. Like, that's how visceral the experience is of listening to you talk about the goal. Now, the next piece of the puzzle is you really want to elicit the true benefits. You know, before how I talked about unmet expectations and what that eventually creates is a series of frustrations or pains or fears. Well, now we want to talk about in the context of the goal, the salon goal or the team goal, we want to talk about the wants, the aspirations, the ideal epicness that comes out of achieving the goal. So when we're experiencing this goal, how is that beneficial to us? And then once we've done that, people, your team will be like, okay, I know what expectations are. I know what unmet expectations can create. I'm hearing from our owner, this is really important this year, this month, this quarter. Like, this is the focus for us as a team. And I feel quite bought into and understand that if we hit this goal, there's personal payoff, there's team payoff, there's business payoff. Like, it's good if we hit this goal. Now you are ripe and ready to set team expectations. And there's three kind of key questions that you want to run through here in order to set the team expectations. And when you get those three questions right, and you ask them at the right time in the right order, what happens is about 40 minutes later when you say, all right, team, now is the moment of truth. Here is where we establish our new team expectations, and they go up. And the people have created them. Not you, not your manager, not just them. It's a collective, what we call co-designing of the team expectations. There's like 5, 7, 9, maybe 11 team expectations. And as they go up, there's this experience that happens because of the process that you've been through where the people are nodding their heads. They're like, there's no like, oh, what's that all about? Because of the process, right? The process gets people to the point where like, oh yeah, that's us. Oh yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And then at the end, you're looking at this big flip chart bit of paper, and it's like, wow, that is in essence who we are. That is a reflection of our very, very best. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Absolutely. Can we do it? 100%. And this is fundamentally what I'm pointing at when I say, how do you do team culture fast? How do you do the 80-20 of team culture in an hour? Like, this is it. And it has been a workshop and a process that I have used hundreds of times. And our salon owners inside of Salon Mastery and Boardroom use every year to reset team expectations because they're busy, right? Every minute, every hour of every day is either an opportunity to produce revenue for the business, or if it's not doing that, it should produce happiness, sustainable loyalty for the business. And the way that you do that is to set team expectations. This is the fast track to better culture. I think what happens naturally after, we just had someone actually yesterday run this workshop with their team. They came back to one of our coaches and said, it was the best workshop I've ever run. This is what they said. It was the best workshop I've ever run. The team was so engaged. I feel like it's a new team. We're all on the same page. Now, it's the best workshop she ever ran because she didn't run it. Like, she ran it, but it's fun. Like, think about what I've shared with you today. It's facilitative. It's asking questions. It's co-design at its best. Part of what makes it magical is you start to shut up and stop telling people what to do, and you start to ask them, what is it? So I'm really happy for her, and I'm happy for all of our owners that do this, because fundamentally, I think all of us can probably look in the mirror and go, my culture could do with some work. And I think if we're being transparent and honest, we'd be like, I don't actually know what I'm doing. I don't actually know how to do it. Maybe you're a great leader and you've been role modeling culture really, really well. But at some point that fades out. If you look at the 5 levels of leadership by John C. Maxwell, in the 3rd level of leadership, after we've role modeled, like, people are looking for something more. They're looking for something more. And that 4th and 5th level is really important. And you don't want to just rest on your laurels for too long. And so, as I was saying, I think the experience that many salon owners deserve to experience is that you run a workshop. It's called Setting Team Expectations. It's the 80-20. It's the fast track to team culture. You do it at the front end of the year. It sets the team up really, really well. They're clear. they're confident on how to perform in the context of a team. So that means they can commit. When people aren't clear about how to contribute to culture, they will never commit. It's the same in every aspect and area of life. If you're not clear and confident about how to be a great husband, you'll never fully commit. Just doesn't happen. We need clarity. Clarity is the mobilizer of courage, of commitment. And so with all of that being said, running a workshop called Setting Team Expectations, without a doubt, is going to align your team at the very least. But I think like that owner that we spoke to just a couple of days ago, you're going to have this experience where maybe for the first time in a long time, you actually are starting to leverage your leadership. You're actually starting to realize that in order to go to your next level, to get out of the plateau that is some kind of revenue plateau and go to the next level, it actually all starts with you. And when you leverage and level up your leadership, your team step up as well. And maybe this year, that all starts with getting on the fast track to better culture.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much, Joel. Here's the real takeaway. Like, better culture doesn't come from you working harder or being nicer or lowering your standards. It comes from stepping fully into leadership and standing for what is best for your business, not just what other people's preferences are. So if this episode has hit close to home and you want more of our Salon Mastery strategies to motivate your team to hit targets, then a proven roadmap to the $1 million salon is the way to go. And this is your invitation to book a Salon Mastery strategy session with me. I'm going to leave the link in the show notes of this episode, but to be honest, like, it's everywhere. It's in the Instagram bio, it's in the group, and it's in all the places. So it's in my email. You should be able to find it. Worst case scenario, just email me or DM me. I'm always available. So we only work with 5 salon owners at a time at each intake. That just means that we can get laser focused on your goals. So if you are a salon CEO or you want to be one and you're generating over 10K a week in weekly revenue, or you're close, you want to get there, and the goal ultimately is to double that by the end of the year, then, well, you know, don't wait. Book a call, let's have a chat, because the goal of that chat is to map out a plan for you, like what's working, what's not working in the business right now, what is the gap, what do we need to fill. We'll use the roadmap to make sure there's no blind spots. The invitation is open now. And outside of that, I hope you've had a good week, and I look forward to connecting with you same time, same place on the podcast next week. Ciao for now.